The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
This is James Madden. You're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
You ever have those feelings where it's like, I don't know, that it's not the gloom and doom. It's just a moody day. You just wake up with like this self-reflection and shit like that. I don't know. Today's been one of those days for me. I guess I had to do some self-evaluating. I had to do a check down, football reference. And, I don't know. Sometimes you get hit with that and you're wondering, how you're going to get out the rut. And sometimes the rut just gets out of itself, or you just get yourself a six pack. One of the two happens. Today, no six pack today. I'll be sipping on my ginger ale. I work tonight, so I have to be of clear mind. That and the fact that, been doing well sports wise, seeing as though that New York has now legalized sports betting, I'm one not to bet, but I said, let me give this a try, especially with the deals that they were giving. $20 buy in, they give you back $300 in credits to play with, and, you had a promo code, you get another 20. So I'm like, hey, you know what? Let me give this a try. So the first night that I gave it a try, I put down 6 bets and won 5 out of 6. So it's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal I'm dealing with over here. So I'm going to give it a try. So the day two is rolling along. So now I'm just playing with house money, bro. Let's see what happens. Let's see if I could be one of those individuals that just bets and become, you know, it's lucky, has the luck of the draw on its first run. New York is going to make a fucking shitload of money. This is going to be ridiculous. You got all these sports apps, sports betting apps, who are now just giving away monies for New Yorkers to play with. And then at the end of the year, the distilleries for marijuana are going to be legalized and opening up. There's no way New York can cry broke. This is going to be exceptional. We're going to have degenerates betting on sports, and you have fucking potheads everywhere. What a better city to live in, right, guys? What a better place to live. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I am your host, Mr. Ear to the Mac, the King of Talk Style, and as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jay the Ritz, and T. Make sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the like and group page on Facebook. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at Turnbuckle Tab, as well as on Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. And as always, check us out on YouTube and on TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Also, check us out on all the podcasting outlets. Make sure you check us out on all things relevant to the world of podcasting, which will be iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, whatever is connected in the world of podcasting. Just search Turnbuckle Tabloid. We are there. Believe me, I've looked it up. I've found it, and we are everywhere. Also, be sure you check us out if you can't get us there and you want to keep it closer to home. Make sure you check us out. Bookmark to your phone or to your PC. Bookmark RageWorksNetwork.com. This is where you get the extravaganza, the plethora of shows that is connected to the RageWorks family. Black is the New Black, Toys and Text, Trek Untold, Turnbuckle Tabloid, and much, much more. So guys, make sure you check us out there at RageWorksNetwork.com. And as always, you could always check out the family at RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net is where you get everything under the sun that is connected to the world of pop culture. We got movies, video games, TV shows, comic books, and much, much more. You do not want to miss it. It is the creme de la creme when it comes to the culture that we enjoy, which is pop culture. So check us out there for reviews, previews, contests, all things connected to the world we enjoy. We do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is. So I was going to save it for later on in the episode. I said, fuck it, might as well just share it now because there's not really much to talk about it anyway. But this past weekend, we went to House of Glory Presents Who Run the World. It's a it was a all-women's themed event. It was a brother and AJ, Whole Milk Mike, ran into Henry from Chokeslam Radio. Or the Chokeslam Report, and we had so was certain different other people there as well. So, yeah, you know, it sucks to say, but honestly, I hate to be right on situations like this, but it's true when I say. Many things that pertain to women in their genre, if it's not, let me phrase that again. Things that pertain to women that is outside of their genre or not initially associated with them in their genre tend to be looked at as a novelty or as something you partake in just cause you got tickets for it or something. I'm sorry to say, and I'm not being a misogynist at all, or chauvinist, not misogynist, a chauvinist, but no, it's true because we see it across with the WNBA, we see it with certain forms of boxing. The only thing that I say that it's not holding true to that has been MMA. They've been holding their own there. The MMA has been really holding women showcasing themselves really strong there. That I have to give kudos to. I find that shit fucking entertaining as hell. There's a big, big push and following for that. But, you know, when it comes to other things and people cry, like, why they don't make the same money as someone else in a case of being, it's like, because not many people are clamoring for it. When you go to an all-woman's promotion or an event, there's three types of individuals that's there. One, they really enjoy wrestling. Two, they want to get out the house. And Q, really horny guys just want to see ass. I was two out of the three. You figure it out. And then, of course, you get the sprinkle of, you know, women who are bringing out their kids, you know, or guys bringing their kids to watch it, but it wasn't really that much at this event. I have to say that, of course, compared to an event with a stacked card with men and shit like that, they maybe had one third, maybe less than that. And I could see that this was an event to get feelers to see if who will come out, who will show up, especially for the opening of the year, for, you know, the opening event of the year. This was their test to see if this can go over. So House of Glory presented the Who Runs the World for their women's championship. It was a tournament. Jordynne Grace, Mercedes Martinez, Santana Garrett, Deonna Purrazzo. They had some legit women. Not to you know, take anything away from them. They had talent there. I just think that I don't know. I this is a feeler to, like I said, for them to see if they can do this again, if they could pull it out again. But I really hold strong to the fact that, you know, women's wrestling is a novelty. And I know a couple of guys. I know J.B. Lewis from St. Louis. He's a big women's wrestling fan. And that's a follower. Like, that's a guy who enjoys women's wrestling because he's a fan of wrestling and that. But there are not many men or women like that. They're not. They're just, you know, this. I don't know if there's no believability about certain women who wrestle or pulling out. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, but you know, when I was at this event, you could tell for the long, like in a large scale, that the women are talented. Some of them really knew what they were doing, and you have to be really, really engrossed in learning the craft to be that good as a woman, because you have to work twice, even three times as harder to be put over and to be acknowledged as something, because, you know, it is a chauvinistic, you know, world. But then there's also some who, you know, you can see that they're just thrown in there, and either you got a pretty face, pretty, you know, tight body, you know, you got that look, and we may have some kind of athletic background, as in, you know, maybe a gymnast, or you play some kind of sport back in the day, but it just, I don't know. I think that I'm going to say that maybe 1 out of 10 women that I've seen come my way, and even in the business now, I could go, yeah, they're really good. Like, I could see them in the same scale as I watch a male who, and not to take anything away from the men, because there's a lot of men who fucking suck too. Like, they're just people who just got it. But it's more along the line that where men seem to go over more, even if they suck. Whereas with women, you always seem to be trying to catch their flaws and their believability in the ring. It's a weird dynamic. It is. At the end, did I have a good time? Yeah, it was all right. I mean, I liked hanging out with the guys and shit, just chilling, you know, having a couple of beers and such. In case you wanted to know, I was of the ilk of the other two. It was more along the line that I enjoy wrestling and I just wanted to get the fuck out of the house. That's what I really was. I just wanted to get out. But, and maybe look at some ass. Nah, it wasn't there. Nah, it was more the other two. It's, like I said, it was rushed. You could tell, like, they just put it together. Like, somebody just said, hey, let's have an old woman's event. And I was like, all right. And they did the eye roll. I was like, all right. And I don't know. It didn't resonate with me as an event that I would probably go to all the time. The reason, and to be honest with you, I went to this event because I was off and really had nothing else to do. I just wanted to get the fuck out. Like I said, have a couple of beers and just get the fuck out the house. Because I really could have sat home and just recorded or done some other shit. But I said, fuck it. And the guys wanted to hang out. I said, fuck it, let's just go. Sally wanted to go as well. So would I go to this again? Like I said, if I'm not going to call out of work for it, I'm not going to demand that they have another one. I don't know if it's one of the circumstances again that, you know, if I'm not doing shit and I'm off, check it out. But I'm going to be clamoring to go to one of these again. So yeah, that's basically my review of House of Glory's Who Runs the World. Other than that, besides sports betting and just what's going on and my day-to-day life, other than that, everything is swell, ladies and gentlemen. Got much to talk about on Around the Square Circle as well as Wrestling Rundown. We have, tons on deck. possible releases coming up again with the WWE, news stories being leaked about the 2K22 series. Shit. We have a plethora of other stories online. Someone's been cleared to wrestle. And that was kind of a shocker. Also, who's leading NXT 2.0 and much, much more. Ronda Square Circle will discuss what we watched, listened to and viewed, read, whatever the case may be, during the week of wrestling and much, much more. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We'll return. Check you guys in a sec. It's that time of season. The season of awards. And TurboGo Tabloid is here to present to you the 2021 Tabby Awards. It's the time of year where we here at TurboGo Tabloid award those for excellence in wrestling. Excellence in such field as male, female wrestlers of the year, comeback, breakthrough, bad, horrible, disgraceful, and other areas of wrestling in which everyone should be recognized for. Nominees will be posted on Facebook and on Twitter. So vote. Vote for your favorites who should be awarded, commended, recognized, and disgraced. The 2021 Tabby Awards, here presented to you by TurboGo Tabloid.
This is the good old Jar, and you're listening to TurboGo Tabloid.
It's Wrestling Rundown with Jay Santy.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
So, but since my Giants aren't in the playoffs, I have nothing really invested in football except to watch it and just enjoy the games, period. I don't give a fuck who wins it, heads or tails. So maybe the sports betting might help me to enjoy it a little bit more. I mean, I heard it makes the games a little bit more exciting. So I'm especially excited for the Super Bowl because, you know, you get a lot of these prop bets and parlays that occurred. So I'm looking to bet those more. I want to get involved in that a little bit. So, God, I hope I don't become a degenerate. I really don't. And the worst thing, I hate losing money. I can't. I remember back in the days when growing up in the hood, growing up in the neighborhood and shit, the guys will play dice. They will always play CeeLo. Even if I lose $5, I'm out. I'm not playing this shit anymore. I'm not doing this. And I would watch the guys bet $100, $200, $400. You motherfuckers is out of your fucking mind. And to be honest, half of them ain't really have the fucking money. And then, of course, somebody come and rob the dice game. Always. That shit happens. So that's life in the hood. Brooklyn style, boy. So, as always, I'm the Norm MacDonald of this wrestling rundown. Yeah, let's let the real guy do it.
And this is your week in wrestling news.
So, kicking it off, there was a this is funny because when I wrapped up last week's episode, this news came up, I was like, shit, I wish I could have gone back and edited it. But I was like, nah, fuck it. I'll save it for next week. So apparently, New York City is well known for their entertainment. You know, we have Times Square and such, you know, Disney and such. But in case you guys don't know, besides the sports atmosphere of entertainment as well, we are pretty well versed in the world of adult clubs, strip joints, as they say. I have partaken in said strip club many, many years ago. I haven't been to one in quite some time. Once again, another instance of where I don't want to lose money. And that's a place where you can spend some money. I'm very cheap, very frugal when it comes to that shit. I'm not going to be the one who has women who have gotten doctorates because I've paid their way through school. No, not on my dime, ladies and gentlemen. So apparently there was a spotting in one of these New York City strip joints. One was Antonio Brown, the former NFL player of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who adamantly walked off the football field. And in the video that was being seen around social media of Antonio Brown, we saw AEW's Hook at the strippy. Oh! My man was front and center with a dancer ass up all in his face. Black chick, too. So, go ahead, Hook. Like the chocolate, up with. I have to say, get it. You're getting paid, getting that money from New York anyway. So, you know what I'm saying? Get in where you fit in, fam. But I must also make a mention that this was probably the first time anyone has gotten chlamydia and COVID on the same night. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here all night. Thank you.
You about to get the F you.
So there's conversations of a possibility of a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble on the male side. We've already discussed that. On the women's side, we had a cutting a promo about it last week that Mickey James will partake in it. And it's been announced that she is the Impact Women's Champion. And I mentioned, I said, thank you for doing that, acknowledging it. But everybody's like, well, can this be the possibility of the Forbidden Door opening? No. It's the fucking Royal Rumble. You're going to get surprise goofy shit. And I get people who are not fans of it either because they're like, well, you're giving up that spot to somebody on the roster who deserves it. Yeah. Also known as also Rans on a racing card. When you go to a horse race, when you're betting on horses, there's place. It's like first, second, and third. It's like place, something, and show, whatever the fuck, how it is. And then on the rest of the card is known as also ran, which means they didn't fucking come first, second, or third. That's what the entrants are in the Royal Rumble. They're just fucking also rans. So why not put in someone entertaining in those spots? Why not? Now they're talking about with that happening on the women's side that there's possibility of doing it on the men's side. Now, I've already speculated and discussed maybe it could be, I don't know. I would have liked to have been seen, like to see somebody from MLW, but seeing as though that, we'll get to that in a minute. I don't think that's going to be possible, but, maybe another Impact wrestler, maybe Moose. I was looking maybe more NWA, maybe Nick Aldis, maybe, Chris Adonis. We also was speculating if it was AEW, it would just be the Blase. It'll be probably Jericho. Everybody's thinking it's Mox. I don't see that happening. If anything, it's going to be someone formerly from WWE. It'd be that entertaining. But is it the Forbidden Door swinging open? No. Unfortunately, too, because if it was MLW, I would have loved to have seen that it was maybe Hammerstone or Junior Fatu, but no, we're not going to get that. So don't get all snippety and believe that there's a possibility that the open door possibility is going to happen, because yeah, the forbidden door is going to just be, it's still going to be forbidden. It's just a tad cracked open.
It's good to be the champion.
What else we have? Oh, we spoke about it before, not too long ago when Oski was here, and we spoke about, you know, the possibility of AEW, since many of these wrestlers who came in on the flagship of AEW, many of them who came in on 3-year contracts, hefty 3-year contracts as well. I mean, it was substantial. They life changing money for a lot of these wrestlers. But now those 3-year contracts are coming up, so there are speculations on who might be on the chopping block. Some is saying Kip Sabian. You got Hybrid 2.0, Sonny Kiss. It sucks that we have, you know, that to do that. Peter Avalon. But, you know, reality is reality, that it was, you were used to fill a roster, and you know, they realized that I'm going to be big names to keep this promotion floating. But one name in particular that's always getting thrown around is Marco Stunt, the baby clown of the circus, as you may. Now, I bust his kid's chops all the time, but I got to be honest with you. I've met him, and he was a really nice fucking guy, really cool dude. Was open for pictures, was very cordial and complimentary to the fans that was around, and you know, took a couple of pictures with us as well. I can't really bust his ass about him personally, but as business wise, it's like, what are they doing here, guy? Like, seriously. But seems as though Marco is making his way in another area. Marco is also a singer. News boards are coming out saying that Marco Stunt has been auditioning for The Voice. This is why we have not seen him on All Elite Wrestling TV. And as per his social media, he thanks everyone for their support and such. And it's possible that Marco is getting past the first round and such. So this could be interesting. Does AEW keep him just to get eyes on the product a little bit more, seeing as though that The Voice is an NBC show, and you know that NBC being the stomping grounds of WWE, Peacock Network, So do they keep him around a little bit more just to have a AEW individual in a WWE world? We shall see.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Supercard returns in April. The Ring of Honor Extravaganza, the pay-per-view, returns in April. That's Ring of Honor had initially made a target date of April in which they would make their return. This is around WrestleMania time. And as always, WrestleMania always finds its attachees who come on board. Companies from around the country, and some even around the globe, all hunker down and go to where WrestleMania is being showcased. So you get all indie. I remember this started. It started like about 30 indie promotions, maybe less than that. Then all of a sudden, it became an explosion to where it was like 75, 85 indie promotions during WrestleMania weekend were down at, you know, Florida. I remember New York had their moments as well. It was crazy. It was a real growth in wrestling during the WrestleMania weekend. So apparently, this is a good target date for Ring of Honor to make their return. I'm still of the assumption that Although they are talking that they want to be more of a GCW type of a promotion where they'll do spot shows, don't need TV. They do pretty well on, I guess, fight and such. I think that Ring of Honor, although they have that goal or that idea, that premise, I still believe that deep down inside they want to be a syndicated and continually watched series of programs. I'm going to say, and I've been saying for the longest, don't be surprised if the library's bought sometime this year and might be under a mysterious individual or individuals who buy the library and also buy the trademark and such. I'm still going to go say that Triple H buys this shit. I'm just saying. I'm not going to say this until someone else does, but I generally believe that he's going to buy it. It's gotta be, right? There's already tensions going on and within the family and the business, right? With WWE, it's gotta be. Gotta be.
You ain't even half a dog. You just a little piece of shih tzu.
So Hulk Hogan is on Twitter. And if you guys don't follow Hulk Hogan on Twitter, good for you. I don't. I just pretty much get the news stories and then check all his Twitter posts and shit. And apparently he makes a comment on Twitter about the death of Betty White, and he's already equating or making reference to the fact that she possibly died of COVID or from the COVID vaccine. Hogan has been known numerous times on social media to make blunders and say ludicrous shit, and this one is no different, ladies and gentlemen.
Your face looks like my nuts, except you got a hairier bush.
I always crack up because when you hear the laugh at the end, fucking it puts it over. Bruce Pritchard running NXT 2.0. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, this is what I said. This is pretty much the death of NXT, Triple H's dream and his baby. And I mentioned it in the last episode where this is petty as petty can be. Vince, although would say that, no, we want to go to a different direction, pal. It's like, no, you're pissed that your son-in-law couldn't be AEW. Let's be for real. So now you got ass-kissing Pritchard running NXT. Which, by the way, guys, if you haven't heard before, I will be no longer covering NXT on this show. Until something changes, until something exciting captures my eye, captures my attention, and catches my eye. No, I'm not watching the shit. I don't even give a fuck about looking at any reviews or anything. None of the, because they're not even called takeovers anymore. So I don't even know what the fuck you want to call them. I could go the rest of my fucking podcast existence without reviewing the show. If it's in this in this state, I'll be fine without doing that. It's good. I'll find something else to do. Like I said. Maybe I'll start watching Impact. Impact is getting better now. I mean, they weren't terrible. It was just a pain in the ass to find. But also, with the invasion angle happening with Ring of Honor coming into Impact, listen. Let's see. Shazam! Was mentioning MLW earlier and the possibility of them being a part of the Royal Rumble, any of their talent there, but yeah, no, that doesn't look like it's gonna happen. No. MLW is actually suing WWE. Seems as though MLW has been trying their damnedest to be a part of certain networks and such, and WWE has been finding a way to put the kibosh on that. One one app in particular, Tubi, which is basically the underling of Fox and their networks, was basically they put the brakes on that shit. Apparently, Stephanie McMahon herself let it be known to the head of Tubi and Fox that, yeah, we don't want them on him. Also, there was discussions of MLW being a part of Vice, and they too were put on a let it a notice that we don't want them there as well. There's also been talks in which that WWE has been in discussions with certain talents within MLW behind the backs of the heads of MLW and trying to get information from said talents. Cord Bauer, formerly of WWE, is the head of MLW, and it's pretty quite perturbed. You can look online to find the documentation of what occurred with said case, which is going forward. And let's be clear. Ring of Honor sued WWE not once, but twice because of their tampering and malpractice of monopolizing the business. One instance in particular occurred in which when they did the joint venture with New Japan to run the MSG show, WWE tried to put the kibosh on that as well, but Ring of Honor stood strong and got the venue, got the MSG venue. So we've always known WWE is bullies, right? I actually missed that. I remember when we first played that, fucking Oski and I were in stitches. It's from an old TV show. It just sounds ridiculous. I don't know why. Corey Graves has been cleared to wrestle. After 7 years, the commentator for Raw has been cleared to wrestle. I knew something was up when he was a part of that whole 24/7 championship run chase bullshit. But yeah, Corey Graves, who had a history of concussion issues and some neck injuries and stuff, but he was told them one time that he was put on a non-compete, but apparently he's been cleared. Will we see Corey as an entrant in the Royal Rumble? I was goofing it because I was like, WWE has constantly had said, listen, if we don't have CM Punk, we get Corey Graves. I mean, come on. He's, tattoos, talks reckless. Same thing, right? Right, guys? Same thing. No? All right.
Y2J is telling you, if you can't say something entertaining, then shut the hell up.
A couple of wrestlers on social media have been hacked on their Twitter accounts. Wrestlers such as Ace Romero and Lance Archer had their Twitter accounts hacked, due in part to a promotion in which you can be awarded free sneakers. Apparently, if you click on the promotion or give them your email address or such, it stole your information and then went on your page and was doing their own promotion on how to get free sneakers and such. Is that bad out there that we gotta gotta fish for free sneakers, guys? Really? Shit. Thought you guys were making some money. All right. Well, listen. Everybody needs them Dior's, right? Right. Whatever.
You're fired.
Wow, we got a lot going on. WWE has another show in which was partially censored on Peacock. The episode in which show, The Rock show, in which The Rock, this is an era in which The Rock came back with that, the ego persona of Hollywood, where the Stone Cold intervened and such. That episode, well, that segment was trimmed down. I believe it was the part in which he called the women fat and ugly. Okay. I mean, this is the era we live in, right? This is where we're going. But.
Just stupid idiot.
But yet we have people like Sonny, who's just got arrested again. This past week, Sonny was arrested in New Jersey, brandishing a firearm and yelling out terrorizing threats to significant other, I guess. This will be the sixth or seventh time Sonny has been arrested. Some people just like jail. Why can't we just keep them there for a while? They just like jail. They just like being assholes. Let's just give them what they want. You're not helping me here. You're not helping me here.
It's me, Austin.
There we go.
It's me, Austin. It was me all along, Austin.
So I run out to GameStop so I could reserve WWE 2K22, but apparently it's not out for reservations yet to reserve. The game is supposed to be released in March, and we're in the middle of January, and you cannot get any, you know, reservations for it. Apparently there's been leaks pertaining to what is going to be upcoming on said game. We've already discussed the return of GM mode and the creator wrestler suite has gotten bigger and more immersed. But also, just recently as a leak, it hasn't been fully announced yet, but the cover art has been revealed to be Rey Mysterio. And there's going to be other aspects of the game in which you can, you know, with the season pass, you also get the Undertaker pack, which will have his, I believe it's four different eras, including the Boneyard Undertaker. Listen, I get the games anyway, even if they're a disaster. The 2K20, I still have in the box. I've played it once. I kid you not. I played it once and put it back in the box, and it's a collector's edition. I just leave it there in hopes that... No, it's not going to happen. Listen, I even bought 2K18 on the fucking Switch. Horrible. They never updated that shit. Horrible. So yes, as I mentioned before, I will buy it even if it's fucking awful just to say that I own it. I own an awful game. I'm that much of an idiot that I would do that. Yes.
Shut your mouth, you thong wearing fatty.
Wrapping up soon, we have some talks in which that William Regal, who was recently released from NXT and WWE, was approached on the possibility of being a part of Impact. I love it. I would, not only is he great, he's a great scout for talent, but also as a on-air talent, and to be more of a presence in the back makes a whole lot of sense. I think Tommy Dreamer had mentioned that yes, that he had reached out to Regal. I'm hoping that this does occur. I'm hoping that there's something for him. The man is, and you know, he's fucking hilarious. The guy's a clown and shit. Listen to some of his shoot interviews. He's fucking funny as hell. I hope that this pans out, and I hope it does happen for him, that he's at Impact, because that'll actually draw more eyes to the product.
Rest in peace.
Breaking news. Apparently, there was a big heated argument between Vince McMahon and Mustafa Ali. Ali, who has not been seen on TV since October in a loss against Drew McIntyre on SmackDown, apparently was going to be repackaged again. And the first branding of the of his repackaging was a New America type of look. I guess he would be a commentator to how America is and their outlook on minorities and such like that, and which he was happy for. He wanted to see. But then Vince McMahon didn't want that, and they went to repackage him again, and he was disgruntled. He went on to social media to describe and discuss his vision that he wanted to display with his new gimmick, but apparently it was put to rest and it would no longer be there, so he asked for his release. Some are saying that it might be a bit unprofessional for him to discuss his business practice and announce that he asked for his release. And a couple of wrestlers have done that before on social media, where they discuss their release. I do feel the same way too, that I believe it's unprofessional, especially seeing in light on how a lot of these wrestlers are going out, Jeff Hardy and such. But I also take in consideration as well as how disrespectful WWE has been to their talent as well. Believe me, this is another guy who, if released, will find jobs anywhere. He will be good. The guy's talented. He's gifted. I didn't know he's been with the company since 06. That's crazy. But yeah, he's a talented guy. And the hell, somebody. Sorry. That's the air fryer. Yeah, It's one of those games. It's one of those instances to where WWE doesn't know the talent that they have, right? It's time! And finally, on our main event, we have the PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, releases their 2021 awards, which, by the way, Tabby Awards will be coming out this upcoming week. Check out our awards and our unbiased ways of giving out the awards, because fuck that. I'm biased because there's a lot of motherfuckers out there that will deserve this shit, and I'm not going to give it to them. Nah, I'm kidding. The reason why I say unbiased is because at least we give the audience a chance to put up their nominees. We put up who we think should be nominated in said category, and the top four due to listeners and group members' votes will be part of the nominee selection. PWI, ladies and gentlemen, last time they did a I guess it was their mid-card, their mid-year awards and such, I gave them shit because in many ways they were too closely tied to Meltzer and his Wrestling Observer Awards. I had to take a step back because I was like, all right, listen, it's different. They're not in cahoots. So I had to do a retraction on that. But leading up to what I saw with the awards of this year, by God, what the fuck? Is now the Wrestling Observer and PWI firmly positioned to be on each butt cheek of Tony Khan? This is preposterous. This can't be real. This cannot be real. Okay, so let me just give you the rundown quickly of who the winners are. Comeback Wrestler of the Year, CM Punk. Okay, I can take that. I'll acknowledge that. I even have them as I have a nominee on my. Technically, honestly, if you want to go into it really, I could easily say Matt Cardona or Homicide. They've had fantastic years last year. But of course, let Punk be it because Punk came back into wrestling, right? Okay. Most popular wrestler of the year, CM Punk. Match of the Year, Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Fuck you. Fuck you. No fucking way. No fucking way. I cannot stomach. No fucking way. You had Seth Rollins versus Edge in the Hell in a Cell. You had the triple threat match at WrestleMania. You had Darby Allin versus MJF. You had Sasha and fucking and Bianca Belair. Really? This kills me. I'm really at a loss for words. So I'll just leave it at this. Honestly, seriously, that's outlandish. That's absurd, as Oski would say. That's ridiculous. Most hated wrestler of the year, MJF. Rookie of the year, Jade Cargill. Oh my God. Did she win it by default? I mean, honestly, did she win it by default? I know a lot of guys like her because she's, you know, she's pretty and got a nice body or whatever. But as a wrestler, you're what? Her last match with fucking Ruby Soho exposed her. Rookie of the year, my ass. Like, are you? You could have said Wardlow. You could have put Wardlow on there. He didn't really have a lot of matches early on. He started getting a boost of matches now, recently. Hell, if you wanted to slide it under the fucking radar, you wanted to say Hook, whatever. But her? Most improved wrestler, Britt Baker. Where? Is this the AEW Awards? I'm trying to... Indie wrestler of the year, Nick Gage. Nope, I would have said Homicide there. Woman Wrestler of the Year, Britt Baker. Jesus fucking Christ. Group of the Year, Inner Circle. Oh, my Lord. Tag Team of the Year, Young Bucks. Is the PWI's tongue really so far up Tony Khan's ass that they could taste his breakfast? That this is just... Wow. Wow. Rivalry of the Year, Chris Jericho and MJF. No, it really wasn't. Inspirational Wrestler of the Year, Edge. Wow. You threw WWE a bone there, didn't you? And Wrestler of the Year, Kenny Omega. I sit here rubbing my eyes. It's like I said, preposterous. Preposterous. This is just I can't with this fucking they're so wanting to put this fucking company over. And I get it. There's still the newbies on the block, but can you call a fucking spade a spade and stop being biased? Jesus. I can't. I'm may discuss more of this next episode, or maybe I'm just gonna fucking put it to the side. I don't give a shit. This is just ridiculous. Guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We have much to talk about on Around the Square Circle. I wish I could fucking get a beer right now, but nope. I'm gonna take it easy. Don't go away. Stick around. We will return. Check you guys in a sec.
What does it take to be called a legend in wrestling? What accolades must you achieve to be recognized as one to be above all in professional wrestling. Tonight, we share said accomplishments on our episode of Turnbuckle Biography. On this episode, we share the history of one man who has accomplished so much in the field of professional wrestling. This man has won an astonishing number of tag team championships across the globe. Tonight, I, Montgomery Winthorpe, is pleased to recognize Hillbilly Bill, the greatest tag team wrestler of all time, who has broken all racial barriers during his years of wrestling without even knowing it. Hillbilly Bill began his wrestling career at the age of 14 from his hometown of Blacklist, Arkansas, a town that had never seen a black person ever. The only color that he ever saw was pale.
Must tell you, growing up in Blacklist, I was a big fan of wrestling. Remember watching guys back in them days who did like 4-5 hours of wrestling in the ring, and we just watched all day long because, hell, we ain't had nothing else to do. We just waited until the cows were mating, pigs were mating, and then, boop, nothing else occurred. But when I started wrestling, I made sure that I wanted to be a guy who grappled. And I found me partners. But my partners weren't the regular partners. They were strong, big, manly men. And although they've been in the sun for a little bit too long, because being out in the fields, that happens. And these men were out there for a while. They looked like burnt chickens. We were champions, bred to win. And I was going for the goal in every promotion we went to.
The man known as Hillbilly Bill had a mediocre run as a singles, but he knew what he needed to do to take him over the top.
I was okay with running around, being by myself, and wrestling other guys, but when I saw what tag team wrestling was like, why, sure, I need to be a part of that. So I started recruiting guys to be part of my greatness. So I recruited guys like Harlem Henry and Carolina Carl, Detroit Dave, Chicago Carlos. I also went and got guys that were like, I wouldn't say pale, but they were a little bit off color, like my friends from California. It was Compton Kenny and Los Angeles Louis. He was a bit on the tan side. And I gotta say that it seemed to be successful. We had great runs back in those days.
There was always something off-putting with these gentlemen Hillbilly Bill did not understand.
Yeah, I remember when we were changing in the locker room with the other fellas, and all the other guys in the territories seemed shocked with the guys that I bring in. Some of them were pretty upset because they didn't understand why would I bring these tanned individuals in the locker room. But I said, hey, this is my tag partner. They would bring like these fiery crosses and pitchforks. I was like, hey, guys, we don't use that kind of weapons and matches over here. All we do is a straight wrestling out here. This is what we do.
fast forward to this day, Hillbilly Bill now being a Trump supporter wearing his Make America Great Again hat and shirt, doesn't understand why he's getting a backlash in social media.
Yeah, my grandsons and my grandnephews and stuff are telling me about me being bashed, and I thought I was actually getting really good at pro wrestling, but apparently they're telling me that I'm labeled as something as a racist. I didn't run. I never ran racist. I was a wrestler. That was my thing. I didn't run racist. So I don't know why I'm a racist. All I wanted is to be known as just a wrestler. But, so they say, vote for Trump 2020. I like him.
Thank you for being a part of this episode of Turnbuckle Biography. I'm your host, Montgomery Winthorpe. As I say to you, good night. This advertisement is brought to you by
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
This is former WWE announcer Greg Hamilton, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Round the square circle, ladies and gentlemen. This week, I mean, didn't have much to listen to, didn't much to really talk about. Nothing captivated me, really. Wrestling Bios did a coverage and a review of the old video game, WCW Backstage Assault. If you guys don't know what a disastrous wrestling game is, that's pretty much it. I know we talk about the 2K series and such, but no, there's nothing like this. This was bad. This was bad. Do yourself a favor and steer clear of the game. Watch the review. The review is hilarious, but steer clear of the game itself. Cornette discussed WWE and possible AEW releases, in which we discussed the 3-year contracts of wrestlers are coming up, so we'll see who's going to be on the chopping block. Was watching MLW this week. They did the Azteca Underground. This time they were in an undisclosed quote unquote location. 5150 defending their titles, and the Where is Hammerstone saga was still going on. I gotta admit, like I said, I enjoy watching this program. I love it. NWA as well was really good this week. Check those guys out. And yeah, that's pretty much. Oh, and 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff. He discussed his thoughts on the measurements of success. And to boil it down, it was basically generating money. That's pretty much what success is. How do you generate money with your promotion? So yeah, that was pretty much the roundabout way of what I described of what I listened to this week or what I watched this week. Pretty simple. So let us get into this week in wrestling with Raw, ladies and gentlemen. So let us get it. This week's Raw opened up with Bobby Lashley in the back and Hurt Business approaching him, saying, glad that we're back together. And Bobby says, we're not together. I told you, I'm doing this alone, fam. And blew off the guys. We had Brock Lesnar in the ring. Brock has become very charismatic, hasn't he? I said, it's It's oftentimes that you heard how much of a douche he is. And many, many people in the circle have said, no, he's actually pretty good. Like, you hear Stone Cold talk about having, you know, a couple of brews with him and kicking back, and Undertaker having, you know, having him as a friend and such. But you always think that he's a douche, but apparently his charisma is actually coming off little by little, coming on little by little more to the audience week by week. Like this week, he had his face-to-face with Bobby Lashley, and Bobby was putting himself over, saying that, you know, Brock has been ducking him for 20 years. And Brock basically spit back and said, nah, I didn't even know who you are. In fact, I just heard that you were Brock Lesnar wannabe. You're a knockoff. And he actually did a knock-knock joke. That hit on all cylinders. The only thing that bothered me about this was the end, because they needed a way to blow off the segment, was when the Hurt Business came in, Shelton and Cedric, to jump Bobby, and Bobby beat him up. And it was like, why didn't you just come out and try to jump Brock to get on Bobby's good side? Why jump Bobby? And then tell Bobby, yo, stay the fuck away from me. I told you guys, leave me the fuck alone. That didn't make any sense. We then get Apollo Crews, Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode defeating Damian Priest and the Street Profits. I'm still trying to figure out how the Apollo Crews effect is working. I also realized that Amos is Nigerian as well, so wouldn't it make sense to put him as a somewhat of a faction? Interesting. Seth Rollins said he's excited to be in the Royal Rumble because it's a night that he will defeat Roman Reigns and become the next Universal Champion. Seth said there are three things certain in life: death, taxes, and him defeating Roman. That is such a cliche line that goes on all the time in wrestling. That's just a throwaway line that everybody goes to. Then we get Big E interrupting and Big E declaring that his entry to the Royal Rumble and claiming that he'll win the main event at WrestleMania by challenging for the title. That's when Rollins was challenged to a match, and eventually he accepted, in which Rollins won. Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. had a conversation. They were having a segment in the ring, and a conversation of them splitting up was occurring. Rhea animated, letting it be known that, yeah, it's time for them to go their separate ways. And we get the teaser of Nikki A.S.H. basically turning heel. Then we see the spot in which, poof, it's over with. And Nikki's a heel now. And everybody's like, where do we go from here? Does she become the anti-hero? Does she become the old Nikki, the lunatic? And I said, neither. They're going to keep her being a delusional superhero. You'll see. Edge had the cutting edge segment, in which we had, you know, we had two back-to-back fucking segments in the ring. And we had Edge having his wife on, Beth Phoenix was on, and of course, The Miz interrupts with Maryse. Funny, you never realize how much of an impact Beth Phoenix made during that time, because it was such a shitty time with the Divas and shit like that. Beth was a work. I remember before she came up on the main roster, she wrestled in OVW in a ladder match against, what's her name? Katie. Oh my God. I know she was in Impact recently, but, she is there now. And they had a remarkable match. It was great. I enjoyed it very much. And I was like, yo, that woman's going to be, she's going to be something. And sure enough, she came up. But my thing is that she came up at such a bad time because of that Divas bullshit. She should have been dominating all of them. So that's how good she is. So let's see how this turns out, this run turns out now, right? All right. AJ Styles defeats Austin Theory via DQ because Grayson Waller attacked him. And I know people who are like, who the fuck is that? The WWE main roster does not know who the fuck Grayson Waller is. That fan base does not know. Because they've already turned off the fucking NXT. They're already done with the shit. Alexa Bliss was in therapy, and this is when I thought that they were going to have the Alexa Bliss, you know, transformation, focus your mind, get yourself, change the personality up. But no, I don't think that's done yet, or she's going to come back the same way with the whole Harley Quinn still kind of thing, right? Although I was not upset at the segment. I thought it was actually pretty good, but I thought we were going to see a change. Not yet, ladies and gentlemen. We get Doudrop, Bianca Belair, and Liv Morgan in a triple threat match to become the number one contender for the World Women's Champion. And I love it because Becky was doing commentary, and I love that. I love when Becky was doing commentary for it. She was genuine. Like I heard her realism in it, and you get the difference between like the Becky Two Belts and the Man and the Big Time Bex. Like you can see the difference in the gimmicks. But yeah, it's still her. Doudrop gets the win here. I think she should have gotten a win. I think that Becky needs a new face to see for the title, which is this is going to eventually become a fatal four-way one way along the line, right? This is what we're looking for, right? Yeah, I think so as well. So this will lead us to AEW Dynamite. AEW Dynamite kicks off with Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly coming to the ring. Yeah, because, you know, we just throw these guys once again together just because the crowd wants it. Right. Wasn't fucking Adam Cole associated with the Young Bucks? Aren't they the super click? Now all of a sudden, these two jamokes are in the company and you just throw them in. Where the fuck is the storytelling at? Then we get the Young Bucks to come in and ask questions like, hey, what's going on here? Blah, 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 blah. Best friends arrive to interrupt the segment. Hence the beatdown. And just as when we're going to get a kick from Adam Cole, Chris Statlander shows up to surprisingly stand in between. Where the fuck did that come from? Oh, this is why. So that we can get Britt Baker to run in the ring. And then, yay, we have everybody together who we know. We have the couple and everybody is friends. And we all, the fuck is, how did this? Listen, I was trying to explain the whole Mook and the guys the other day. I said, this is all because they want to pop the crowd. They don't want storytelling. They don't want long, engaging angles. They just want to pop the crowd. That's it. How do we get from point A to point F without going through B, C, D, and E? We just jump the fucking line. And please don't give me this story about, oh, you're not watching Dark, or you're not watching Dark Elevation, or you're not watching Dark Fortuitous, like whatever the fuck show it is. Who the fuck has the time? Dark Elevation the other day was an hour and 59 minutes. Well, no, was it Dark? No, it was just Dark. What the fuck? Who the fuck has time to watch jobber matches for fucking 2 hours? Listen, I know I have some free time at work, but shit, I got other things I gotta do. I have other fucking responsibilities. Damn. So we went from point A to point fucking Z without giving the whole tale. Then we get the CM Punk versus Wardlow match. I'm glad somebody posted up what this match really was. It was basically a paying homage to Bret Hart versus Diesel. It helped to put Wardlow over. And of course, in the end, CM Punk with the win after a roll-up, after 7 fucking power bombs. I just love it. I don't have that memory for wrestling. I have spot memory for wrestling. I'm more of a commentator of the situation of the moment. I don't have that memory to retain when it comes to wrestling of older matches to remember move by move. There's just guys who, you know, I admire for that. And whoever was able to put together that match was basically a cut and paste paying homage to Bret and Diesel is fucking genius. I kid you not. It's great. CM Punk with the win. After that, MJF was upset. This is when MJF announced. Oh, no, he announced it later. After the match, MJF yelled at Wardlow for losing and told him he'll never win the big one. And when Wardlow was about to punch MJF, Sean Spears stopped him. Dante Martin and Powerhouse Hobbs had a match. Ricky Starks tried to screw Dante over, but Jay Lethal came in for the stop. There you go. Where the fuck was Jay at? Shit. It was MIA. Motherfucker signs with the company. Went missing. Oh, I forgot. You should watch him on Dark. He was wrestling with Sonny Kiss. Yeah, they were tag partners. What the fuck? Sign one of the biggest fucking talents in the company. And the first thing you do is you throw him on Dark. What the fuck is wrong with you people? And you have him now doing saves for fucking Dante Martin. Biggest signing, one of the biggest signings in the fuck in the millennium, and this is what we do. And in the fucking 2020, 2021, this is what we do. Fucking shit. Chris Jericho said that the Inner Circle will back up Sammy Guevara if 2.0 gets involved in his match against Danny Garcia. Eddie Kingston then arrived and told Santana Ortiz that they'd be champion now if it wasn't following for Jericho. And once Santana Ortiz to choose either if they're going to be with Jericho or align himself with him. This is when they both walked off. Also, Hager walked off as well. He said if Jericho said if Kingston gets involved in a match, they'll kick his ass too. MJF said that next week CM Punk will get what he wants and which will be a match with Sean Spears. I know he's doing the chicken shit thing. I know he's running, and that's story. That's good story. But it should have been a thing to where Sean Spears also was fucking with Punk and finally is like, yeah, now you get Sean Spears. Even just for that match. Okay. Too much logic. Hangman Page cuts a promo. This is when America's Top Teams, Lambert comes in and he discusses Adam Page's cowboy gimmick, that the real cowboys was from back in the days, like the Blackjack Mulligans and shit like that. And that he's just not a real cowboy. He's a modern age cowboy and shit like that. And was basically calling him out on his bullshit. In which we had Lance Archer run into the ring, and you would think that Archer was going to put the squash on Lambert, but apparently not. This is when he ran up and started pouncing on Hangman Page. I'm intrigued by this. We need a new look for Page. We need a new person to go head-to-head with. And I could get cowboy vibes from Lance Archer. So Archer's back after injury. We get Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida. Serena Deeb putting the work on Hikaru Shida early on. That woman is good, man. I want to see her live. That's a woman I want to see wrestle live. That, I was just mentioning earlier about women who work. She is in the 1% that fucking can work. Shida looked very well here as well. This is one of those underlying stories that is not getting the attention that it should get. Should not, you know, it should be more higher on the card to get a look, because their story makes more sense and it's been going along for some time and it's been fun. It should tie in to the TBS title match or such. Because this Jay Cargill shit is just, it's an abomination. After the match, I laughed because Excalibur says during the commentary, the referee's job is to protect the wrestler while he's trying to help Hikaru Shida. And then when fucking Serena D comes in with the kendo stick, he runs out like a bitch. Fucking hilarious. D puts in the work on Hikaru Shida's leg, and the rest of the guys in the back come out to stop that. Like I said, there's a lot of work here. There's a lot of heat here, and I'm fucking with it. Adam Cole and Britt Baker challenge Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. No one gives a fuck. I really don't care. I mean, you AEW fucking marks, you're gonna come on yourself for this. I don't care. Ugh. Pentel Zero and Matt Hardy have a match. Penta wins. After the match, Malakai Black attacks Penta. The Varsity Blondes come out and try to stop Malakai, but they're taken out by the debuting Brody King. Ooh, that was interesting. I was waiting to see when he was going to drop off. But to me, I'm like, Brody King to stop the Varsity Blondes, I would have wanted him to be more involved as somebody bigger. I guess maybe it would have been something else if it was if Rey Fénix wasn't injured. But yeah, stop having so many fucking tables at ringside and you wouldn't hurt your fucking wrestlers. Jesus. We did it past week. We had what was it? The Battle of Belts. We had three fucking table spots. Come on, what? You know, that's something I'll say for a later date. Because once again, just as when you think AEW is on a fucking come up, they start doing stupid shit again. Matt Hardy said that tonight's loss is frustrating, and he should focus less on the future of the AEW, more on himself. Something needs to change. Andrade El Idiota comes in and goes to Matt and proposing a deal. Andrade, why don't you just fucking wrestle? Stop being a fucking businessman. Just wrestle. Too much novella shit going on. Too much soap opera shit. And I understand that wrestling is a soap opera, but there's too much going on. And let me guess. Is this when we bring in Jeff Hardy? Oh, God. He'll be better here. We'll take care of him. Shut up. Pac thanked Malakai Black for blinding him and said his blindness has been a blessing. Pac claimed that all the other senses have been heightened and his vision has never been more clear. I guess Pac has been on sabbatical due to the pandemic, so he has trouble coming in and out. Then finally we get Sammy Guevara going up against Danny Garcia. Now, not a bad match. It's just, once again, it's just this interim shit and... You know, we could have done without that. Because now we're going to have the two face off next week or week after, whatever. Sammy wins when he retains the TNA Championship. After a match, 2.0 attacks Sammy. Jericho and Eddie Kingston take him out. Jericho and Kingston stare each other in the face, and that ends the show. Ooh, man-on-man tension. This show was a somewhat better than last week's, but not by much. They really need someone to book this show. They really do. They need someone who's just not writing notes down on a fucking card. They really need somebody to fucking book this show. Honestly. So on SmackDown tonight, we had the Uso announcing that there will be a Fatal 4-Way match determining who will be the next challengers for the Tag Team Championship. The Viking Raiders, Los Lotharios, Cesaro Manzor, with Jinder Mahal and Shanky, have the Fatal 4-Way tag match. The Viking Raiders win for that. Sorry, but I'm not a big fan of... I love tag team wrestling, but when you put too many tag teams in one match, it just throws me the fuck off. Naomi went to Sonya Deville and asked what she's what she has against her. Sonya said Naomi showed up with the main character vibes when everyone knows she's just an extra and threatened to fine her and remove her from the Women's Royal Rumble match. Sammy then declared his entry into the Men's Royal Rumble. Sammy said anything Johnny Knoxville can do, he could do better, and I wanted to prove it with his own stunt show in Zane. I gotta love Sammy. I love fucking Sammy. Sammy got in a shopping cart, but got scared and decided not to be pushed down the ramp or off the stage. This is when Nakamura and Boogs came out and took out Sammy. Aaliyah defeats Natalya in 3.17 seconds. Why? Making it the shortest match ever. Why? Why did we do this? Why? Then we get Lita to come out and say she's entering into the Women's Royal Rumble match and will challenge for the title when she wins at WrestleMania 38. Flair interrupted and questioned how Lita will deal with the humiliation as she loses at the Royal Rumble. They had a banter going back and forth. And Charlotte pointed out she already defeated Trish Stratus and retired her and claimed she will do the same to her. This is when Charlotte tried to slap Lita, but Lita took her out with a twist of fate. Good for you. Sheamus defeats Ricochet. You only hope that one way along the line Ricochet gets to come up, right? Intercontinental title run? Something? Backstage, Anna Pierce and Sonya Deville. Naomi said that she would defeat Charlotte Flair. She would have defeated Charlotte Flair if Sonya didn't get involved. Anna Pierce gave Naomi a rematch against Charlotte for next week. Xavier Woods is out of action due to injury and will miss the Royal Rumble, but declared he will enter the match. And this is when Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss interrupted. Corbin declared his entry and vowed to eliminate Kofi. Madcap and Kofi had a match in which Madcap gets the win. And of course, we get the closing with Roman. Roman claimed that he's the greatest universal champion. Roman Rollins then said that he told Roman Hand and he had to carry him during the Shield days. Roman said that Rollins looks like a clown these days, and even he isn't recognized worldwide in every household. Roman said he would be facing Rollins' wife Becky Lynch at the Royal. If it was up to him, he would rather prefer to wrestle Becky Lynch at the Royal Rumble. This is when the Usos came out and Rollins got out. So And that closes out. Can we get a closing match on SmackDown anymore? Can we just get... I mean, seriously. I mean, let's do that. And this will lead us to AEW Rampage. This week has been spectacles, huh? And closing out the show, AEW's Rampage. Anna Cole defeats Trent Beretta. I didn't give a shit about this match, honestly. Then we get Shawn Spears versus Andrew Everett. After the match, Spears cuts a promo saying that he and CM Punk travel the same road, and same road, and that he will do that the one move Wonder Wardlow cannot do, and that was defeat Punk. So we're really going to start breaking them up. Okay. The Acclaim dropped the diss track, which, by the way, that shit was fire. I am not going to lie. I enjoyed that shit. Those fucking guys are... I would have played it, but I don't want to get hit with a fucking copyright. But that shit was fucking hilarious. Nyla Rose, The Bunny, and Penelope Ford defeat Chris Stanley, Lila Hirsch, and Red Velvet. Jay Lethal approached Ricky Starks and said that he didn't like seeing what Team Taz was doing against Dante Martin, so he helped him out. Lethal said that Starks cared more about his wardrobe than he did wrestling and is worthy of putting that FTW title up. Lethal issued a challenge to Sark for the title. And then finally, we get the Jurassic Express defeating John Silver and Alex Reynolds to retain the 8. This was a boring fucking show. I watched this shit at work on my phone, and I prayed for a crisis to happen because fucking show was terrible. It was almost as though like I needed some kind of medication to stay awake from, you know, while watching this shit. Fucking dreadful. It's awful. That's going to wrap up Around the Square Circle. Before we let you guys go, of course, I give you the word of the wise. Like I said, I started off the show feeling down, and I'm still feeling a little bit out of it. Not because of the show. I love doing the show. The show rejuvenates me. It makes me feel great when I'm doing it. It brings me back to life. I'm more inclined because, you know, it's true with the memes and the videos and such that you see on social media. It's like where a man... He can't be depressed. He can't be down. He can't be sick. He can't go through troubles. Can't go through issues. And he can't talk about it because he's a man and he's not supposed to do that. You know, who's there to come and grab you by the shoulder and say, you good? Who's there to talk it out with you when you're going through issues and shit? And believe me, there is. There is people out there. There's people you can confide in. And there's people you can talk to. It's just that we're so proud and have such pride in not showing us that we're weak. That we gotta learn that even in time and as we get older, that we gotta push forward. And be a little bit vulnerable so we can work through our issues. Make sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the Like Group page on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter and on Instagram at Turnbuckle Tab. Also, make sure you check us out on the YouTube and TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. And also, be sure you check us out on all the podcasting outlets. RageWorksNetwork.com as well as RageWorks.net. Guys, as always, be safe, mask up, do what you got to do to protect yourself from this thing. We could almost be out of this shit soon. And also take care of each other and learn to love each other and talk it out. It's okay. Have a conversation. It's cool. Take a bump, guys. We're out of here. Laters.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Tabloid.